Enoch took a stroll one day with the master, just him and the Lord alone. He got so close to the portals of heaven that God just led him on home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggled over mountains, walked through some valleys I thought I would never see dawn. But the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggled over mountains, walked through some valleys I thought I would never see dawn. But the one who said, I'll never forsake you,
is the one that's leading me home.
He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. There is a place we read about in God's holy word. It's built upon a mountainside, the New Jerusalem. The walls around that city are inlaid of pure jewels. 12 gates along the wall, and every one a single pearl. The glory of that city would blind the human eye. More glorious still will be the face of Jesus Christ the King. And garments pure and white as snow will gather round His throne. And join the saints of yesterday in singing home sweet home. Inside the city walls, I'm told, are mansions of pure gold. Where death is banished for old time, we'll never more grow old. We'll walk beside the river with the lion and the lamb. Our worries will be gone and everything will be left behind. The glory of that city would blind the human eye. More glorious still will be the face of Jesus Christ the King. And garments pure and white as snow will gather round His throne. And join the saints of yesterday in singing home sweet home. Inside the city walls, I'm told, are mansions of pure gold. Where death is banished for all time, we'll never more grow. We'll walk beside the river with the lion and the lamb. Our worries will be gone and everything will be left behind. The glory of that city would blind the human eye. More glorious still will be the face of Jesus Christ the King. And garments pure and white as snow will gather round His throne. And join the saints of yesterday in singing home sweet home. The glory of that city would blind the human eye. More glorious still will be the face of Jesus Christ the King. And garments pure and white as snow will gather round His throne. And join the saints of yesterday in singing home sweet home. I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. If I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do what's right, I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. If I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do what's right, I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. If I live a holy life and the wrong and do what's right, I would rather live for Him more than anything I know, more than houses and land, our riches untold, than to live in this world and lose my soul. I tell you, my friend, I would rather live for Him more than anything I know. I would rather live for Him more than anything I know, more than houses and land, our riches untold, than to live in this world and lose my soul. I tell you, my friend, I would rather live for Him more than anything I know. I would rather live for Him more than anything I know. More than houses and land, our riches untold, than to live in this world and lose my soul. I tell you, my friend, I would rather live for Him more than anything I know. Heavenly Father, we just want to come into Your presence, Lord, worship You in spirit and truth. Magnify Your great name, exalt You above all other gods, Lord. There's nothing left. There's nobody like You, Lord. We just want to give You thanks for another day of life, for the many things You do for us on a day-to-day basis. You've allowed us to see this end-time truth. You've allowed us to be led by Your Spirit, Lord. I just pray You continue to be with us as You see fit. Give us obedient hearts and to just do whatever You require of us, Lord. To say the things that You put on our heart, Lord. We just pray You'll take them, anoint them, inspire them, allow them, Lord, to make sense of the hearts of the people, Lord. We just pray You'll give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So the message people, they call them, the message people, or they call them the Brenhamites, and that's in the season now. Everybody's YouTube is full of testimonies about things that Eddie Bischoff said and did, and they make him this big, very big and popular man. And I want to talk about today about the, when I came to this truth about the prophet, the message. They call it the message. Well, it's an end time message, really. Message of Brother Brennan. And like I said yesterday, there's two people the Lord warned me about that movement. And just very simple. One day he just came down and he just said there's a lot of danger in there. And then he put two people. One was Eddie Bischoff, very dangerous man. And like I said yesterday, if you took your natural eyes and your natural instinct, you would think it was so. He is a very important man. But I found, I wanted the Lord's opinion, and he just came by and he warned me there's a lot of danger in there. One of the most dangerous people in that movement is Eddie Bischoff. And then the next one was that Milko Revbar, I think. I don't know if he's still alive or not, but he was what I would call, he was more or less Eddie Bischoff's spy. He would See, he had a business. He would buy these places that went broke, like, for instance, to bring a closure to harm. I remember back in the day, he's the one that bought that Versatile. And Winnipeg, when Versatile went broke years ago, and what his business was, it's a liquidation business. And he would go and he would buy that whole bank. I think they went bankrupt. And he would buy the whole thing, maybe for 2-3 cents on a dollar, maybe 5 cents on a dollar. And what that milk would do, he would go and sell it for him. And then I still remember it was yesterday. He sold that whole thing to that Josh at Lakeside. And I still remember we went down there. All the Colin went down there and bought hoses and bolts and all. He had a whole shopload of stuff there on the floor we can go buy. And then what that Eddie Bissell business would do, he would buy it maybe from Versatile, from the bankruptcy outfit, and buy it like maybe 5 cents on a dollar. And then he sold it for 50 cents on a dollar or something like that. Or he might even have got it for free. I don't know how it is with the bankrupt thing, but he was in the liquidation business. And he would go with that milk, or he would go whenever he bought something, he would go there and sell it to whoever. And that's what he did when he worked for him. And other than that, he was a spy, right? Like if somebody new come in, like if I came in there, then he would check me out and spy me out to see if I'm serious or see what I'm about. And what he was trying to do, his job was to make sure that you get yourself a job, that you get yourself established, get yourself a house, and get yourself a job, and give 10% to the church, or even more if you want to. But that was his job. He was up there in the church. They got a wee thing up there where you can look over the congregation and you can spy everything out. Now, that's what I call him. I call him, he was Eddie Bissell's spy. And for me, like when the Lord warned me about him, I knew what he was about, but then I stayed at his place for maybe a month. I kind of got a job, and I would come home and just stay at his place until I got a place of my own. And just here and there, and then one day, I went down to get a part for my car, my cable in my car, and the steering thing. It went. So I went down to the auto body, the auto shop, the wrecker, and I asked him to give me a ride down there. So we went down there. I got that cable, and then I'm getting to something. And then on the way back, he really put the law down that I'm supposed to do now. Now that you're here, it's a privilege to come to this church. We built this church for people to come to church, and it's a privilege that you have, and you can sit under Eddie Bissell's ministry. And he put the law down. That's what you come here for. That's what we want you to do. We want you to go out, get yourself a job, a steady, get yourself established, and then bring your wife and children out here, and like we had my life all pegged out for him. No question what the Lord wants for me, just like another right thing, just like, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that, and the first thing you got to do, you got to do everything you can to get your wife out here. First thing we do, we'll go down to the floor, and you'll send her some flowers. You got me to do that, and I did that. Went to send her some flowers, he told me to do it. That's the life they had for him, and then what else I did? I went to the bank, see if I can get some money, $100,000, to buy a house. I did exactly what he wanted me to do. I went along with it, you know what I'm trying to say? Mm-hmm. And then I went to the bank. The bank kind of, he can't give you any money. You got no collateral. They're not going to give me no money. So I ended up very discouraged, sitting outside in the bank's parking lot, wondering what to do. And, I didn't fit in their program, you know what I'm saying? There's no way I could get this thing off the ground the way he said that the church wanted me to do. That's what Eddie Bissell, that's what the Bissell system had the program for me. All they were interested, you gotta go out, you gotta get a job, maybe even two jobs, and you gotta make sure that you pay your 10% to the church. because mm-hmm. it's a privilege to come to this here church. We built a church, and it's now for people to come in and pay their 10%, and then yeah. things are rolling. That's what he had for me.
Uh-huh. And if you have enough, if you pay enough tithes, then you, you're a privileged person. You become privileged in that yeah. church. You know, it's all about the money.
And then you might even get called upon and to sing a song or something like mm-hmm. that if you're up in the high ranks. And that's exactly what's happening out there. And then I was very discouraged. I sat in the bank parking lot there and trying to find the mind of the Lord. And the Lord just said, get in your car and drive. Just drive. So I got in my car and I drove. And there was this lady beside the road with a flat tire. Mm-hmm. So I stopped and I talked to her and I said, well, what's the problem? I said, this tire just all of a sudden went flat. So I said, well, if you have a spare, I'll change it for you. So I tried to undo the bolts on the tire, mm-hmm. and they were so tight I couldn't even move it. They were rusted tight, and oh, man, I couldn't move it. She said she got CAA, but she's waiting here beside the road for almost an hour. Well, I said, well, let's just see if we can move the tire. We can undo the tire. But I couldn't get the bolts off. So I said, I got an air compressor in my car. We'll blow it up, and then we'll see if we can blow it up, and maybe it'll be able to drive home with it. So I went to my car to get my little air compressor that I had, you know, the ones you plug mm-hmm. in. And just as I was doing that, the CAA guy come, you know, the road assistance, mm-hmm. and he came in and he looked at the whole situation. And so what he did, he had a compressor on his, you know how they do it. That's the trucks, and so he blew the tire up, and there was no leak. There was nothing wrong with the tire. But in the meantime, I got to talk with the lady about the Lord, about the message, about Jesus, about things that has eternal value. Mm-hmm. And so that guy blew up the tire, and there was the tire was good, like new, you know, no leak or nothing. But God, when he heard me down at that bank, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he said, get in your car and drive. And here, lo and behold, the minute he did that, that tire just went flat, like a miracle. You know what I'm saying? I'm not making this up. This is really what happened. And I even looked and I said, man, 11, what happened here? She didn't know. I didn't know either. But I know the God of heaven got that tire flat so I could talk to that lady there about the things that has eternal value. I didn't fit into that any biblical program where I should go and get mm-hmm. buy a house and get my family out here and all that stuff, what everybody's doing. I didn't fit into that program. Mm-hmm. And then I was driving through town on King Edward. I think it's called King Edward Avenue or King Edward Street. It's a main thoroughfare down in Vancouver there and Surrey. And all of a sudden, ahead of me, there was a vision. Was just like you can go back and read it, where Jesus walked to the man to the pool of Bethesda. That's exactly what I saw. I saw him walking over all these multitudes of people. You can go back and you can read the account at the man at the pool of Bethesda. I saw Jesus. I saw him walking over all these lame and defamed people. But he took a beeline for one person and one person only, a man with that he took a beeline for. He walked all around the other ones. He didn't, but the God of heaven showed him in a vision that there's a man down at the pool of Bethesda, and I want you to go down there and heal that man. And that's what Jesus did. And this vision did appear before me. I thought, man, what's this all about? I couldn't make sense of it. So I drove back to the apartment. I was staying with that medical guy, and I didn't know what this is all about. I told him about it. I told him I had a vision. And I don't know what it's all about. But that night, I had a dream. I had a dream. I was driving down on Hastings. That's where that's the low-life people, the prostitutes and all these, the panhandlers and all. It's a street where the drug addicts live and all that stuff. So that night I had a dream. I saw myself driving down on Hastings, and then I saw a man in that dream that I had with yellow hair, you know, yellow hair, and he was panhandling. He had a little booth there on the street, and he was selling sunglasses and everything and stuff like that. So I thought, well, I'll go down, I'll drive down there, and I'll see that man. And she, lo and behold, I drove down there, and the Lord told me to park my car and put in about an hour's worth of money in the parking lot. So I put in a loan, and I went and talked to the man. And there, lo and behold, he's out there selling sunglasses. I looked around, and I bought a pair of sunglasses from him. And anyway, I got to talking about the Lord. I asked him, do you know the Lord? Oh, see, I used to go to Sunday school and stuff like that. So I told him about the vision I had. I said, the Lord wants me to come down and talk to you. He wants you back. He wants you working for him. He wants you to start working for him again, and things like that. And I spent an hour there on the street talking to him and talking about the Lord. And he, like you said, he used to know the Lord. And my sister is supposed to come today to see me. And I kept telling him what the Lord sent me here. You're a very special person. That the God of heaven, all these millions of people that are here in this city, you must be pretty special because the Lord sent me here to talk to you. And, yeah, so that's what the Lord had me doing. Not go by mm-hmm. how. I was about the Lord's business. I wasn't about doing Eddie Biscuit's program. Mm-hmm. I didn't fit in that program. Just like David, you know, he didn't fit in that the armor that King Saul had for him. He just thought, I'll just need my slingshot and do what I've always been doing. Killing the bear and killing the lion, and I can kill that uncircumcised Philistine out there. And he just went and did his thing. And that's the way it was. I didn't fit in that biblical system. But I was there, and I would go to church, and I would, when the Lord warned me about that Milko, I had my eyes open, and then finally, like I say, he took me out and gave me the rundown, what I'm supposed to do, mm-hmm. what the biblical system wants for me to do, instead of what, saying, what does the Lord want for you to do? Why don't you just, we'll support you, why don't you just keep on doing what you're doing? You're about the Lord's business. We'll pay you, and we'll, you go about the Lord's business. Why?
Yeah,
you could have done that.
Uh-huh. It's all programmed.
Yeah.
Like there's no room for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you and to direct you in the ways that you should walk. Just like when Jesus told Peter, like the Holy Spirit will lead and direct your life. And if you're in this program, then the Holy Spirit can't do that. And God was trying to tell you, this is what I have for your life. I'm not, this is less. When we were down there at this funeral, I said to this one lady, you've just got another little Hutterite colony here.
Yeah.
Because there's Hutterites there from all over, like Manitoba in the United, or from Canada in the United States. There's Hutterites there, and they've managed to form themselves a little clique there.
Yeah.
And I thought, they've got another little Hutterite colony going on here.
Did you tell them that?
Yeah.
What did they say?
They kind of agreed with me.
Yeah, it's a clique.
Uh-huh.
And they're all under the umbrella of that business system.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Lord took me off that colony, he said, I got some work for you. Mm-hmm. You're working for me now. Mm-hmm. And then I got involved with that Joe Waller, I told you before. And we did great things with that Joe Waller. And we went down to San Jose to get these people away from that James Wayne School. Everybody knows about that James Wayne School. How we took these people down from Wolf Creek Colony or some colony down there and took them out to California, out to San Jose, up on the mountain. And the Lord told me to go down there and get them out of that cult. And so I drove down there, and Joe Waller was with me. And he seen how God did a miracle on that thing. And we went down there, and we told him about what's going on and all that stuff. I've been over that before. I'm just saying that, but I'm about the Lord's business. You know, nobody can harness me up, you know. I don't belong to any business. I don't belong to that Joe Waller. Anyway, the long and the short of it is, Joe Waller wanted to go down to Albuquerque, New Mexico, because he's been sending money down to that guy because he does some missions to Africa or somewhere, something like that, and he writes books, and Joe about moved to support him with finances, you know, and give him his tithes or whatever. Anyway, so we went down there, and the guy wasn't home. We didn't call him or anything. We just drove down there and waited for him, and we waited a day or two, and that Joe decided he's going to fly home. He said, Sam, you stay here till he shows up. He'll show up eventually. We went to his apartment where he was staying, or his he was in the gated area and the fence, and the fence was locked up, and he was there anyway. So what he did, he told me to take him to the airport. So I took him to the airport, and he's going to fly home, run his business, and he wants me to stay there until that man shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, so I took him to the airport, and then he comes over to me, and he says, you know, Sam, 2 weeks ago, the Lord told me to go out and get me open up an account. And he told me to take out 2 visas. And I didn't know, he says, I don't know why that he told me to get 2 visas. But he wants me to give you this visa. And I'm not even supposed to ask you where you spend it or what you do with it. I'm supposed to trust you with that visa, and the visa is yours. And I want you to stay here until that man comes. I want you to go down there. I want you to check him out. See if he's for real. So, yeah, okay, well, I took the visa, and at least I got some finances now to continue about the Lord's business, you know. And so I did. I waited, and I waited there beside his fence. And here, lo and behold, his man shows up. Opens up his gate and drives in there. And went over, talked to him, and says, are you Eddie Mitchell? Yeah. And I said, Joe Waller sent me down here just to talk to you. I didn't tell him he sent me here to check you out, see if you're for real. But I said, lo and behold. So I spent a day or two with him and then check him out. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't tell him I'm checking him out. But anyway, I stayed there 2 days, and then, of course, then after a while, I drove back home, back to Barnwell. And, but I said, when I came back, I said to the Joe, there's something about the man I can't put my finger on. It. There's something not real about him. Yeah, he does a lot of things. I read a lot of testimony, a lot of letters that came back. But anyway, the long and the short of it was, it might take time to check him out. And here, as time went on, I checked, it surfaced that he's a con artist. He's not for real. And I told that to Joe. I told that Joe, because he sent me down to check him out. I said, Joe, that man is going to rape you spiritually, financially, every way possible. He's going to rape you, take you for everything you got. And sure enough, that Joe pulled a lot of money into that man. And he wasn't for real. And anyway, when I came back from Albuquerque, it took me about a week to get back. And then next morning, he said to me, I want the visa back. You did what you came to do, and I want the visa back again. And I thought the Lord had told me to give me the visa, and like for good, so I could be about the Lord's business and go wherever the Lord will send me to. Just like, you know, that's what it was about. That's what he was supposed to do. God, I told him, God will make sure that account is always full. Just trust me with that visa. Well, he wanted it back. And when he wanted it back, everything that God had for that man, he just pulled the plug on him, and now that Joe Wallen, he's got nothing. Because the Lord couldn't bless him, he couldn't trust him, you know. And anyway, I'm on this thing that I'm about the Lord's business. I'm not about Joe Waller's business, because they all wanted to lock me into their program. And I'm not about Eddie Bischoff's business, because I belong to the Lord. And I'm not about Milko Rivbar's business, because I belong to the Lord. They all wanted to put me into that their canopy, just like the other one. They wanted me to put me into their, I'm working for them, I belong to them. But I belong to the Lord. I always did belong to the Lord. The Lord just borrowed me till they called me for 20, 30, 40 years, however long, till I was 45. And then the Lord one day came along and said, let's go. We got some work to do. And he wanted me to expose that hutter, I think. And then eventually came to the message of Brother Branham. And eventually I ended up out in Vancouver for 2-3 years. And eventually I began to see through that thing, through that charade. It's all just a charade. It's not for real. It's phony. It's all Eddie Bischoff is doing. He's building himself an empire, and he's using the message of Brother Brent to do that. And I just saw through that, because the Lord had warned me about that Milko Rivbar. He's his spy. And like I said, the proof was in the pudding. Eventually, as we went out for that drive, this is what we want you to do. You need to get a job. You need to get a house. You need to get your family out here. And you need to get, you need to move on with the program. And you need to put your 10% into the church. Mm-hmm. That's what this thing is all about. And now, wow.
Yeah, that's like a Hutterite colony where your life is all mapped out for you from A to Z.
Yeah.
From waking up in the morning and going for breakfast to night to go to sleep. Everything is mapped out. And that's the same thing. That's how the devil entraps a lot of people. They just fall into this program, and then God can no longer use them.
But anyway, I don't think even think they'll have a funeral. I personally think they'll just have a little quiet family setting, and they'll just bury this guy. There is nothing special about that whole Eddie Biffle system. You can go on the YouTube and you can read and listen to all his sermons, all his testimony, and you, when you continue to listen, you would think I'm crazy, because man, Oliver, he was a man of renown. He was known all around the world. He was this big Eddie Biffle and a very popular person. He got this message all throughout the world, and he goes to cities and he goes to countries, and he's, everybody knows him. Everybody knows of him. And now, here I come along, and like we said yesterday, in the economy of God, he's nowhere in sight. Mm-hmm. He's not even on God. He's not even a blip on God's radar. That's, and I'm the crazy one.
Uh-huh. That's when you kind of put it into, look at it with your spiritual eyes.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually nothing there that God could look down on. And when you will, like I said, look at it with spiritual eyes, there's nothing there, mm-hmm. spiritually speaking. It's all void.
It's man-made. Mm-hmm. It's not, God is not in that program. And here what he did, the most dangerous thing that he did, he robbed all those people, mm-hmm. the potential that man had to tell the people all around the world. He's in these countries, in Yugoslavia, he's in Russia, he's in Germany, he's in South America, he's in Mexico. Everybody knows him. And all he would have had to do, the only commission, the only job description that the Eddie Biffle had, to make sure all these people know about God sending Raymond M. Jackson after Brother Branham went off the scene, that he used Raymond M. Jackson's makeup, his voice recording, everything, the lips and the vocal cords of Raymond M. Jackson. All he would have had to do was tell all these people that were under his influence that is that what God is. He is using now Raymond M. Jackson. All he would have had to do is tell them that, and now he would have a great reward. That's the only job description that people in the 20th century have to tell their people, to tell that God sent a prophet. And then when that prophet went off the scene, God used Raymond M. Jackson. Every one of them preachers that's out there, the John Hagee, the Joel Olsey, mm-hmm. that's the only job description that God has for anybody. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what you and I are doing here. We're promoting what God is doing, mm-hmm. not what Eddie Biffle is doing, exactly. not what John Hagee is doing, not what Joel Olsey is doing. We're promoting what God is doing. And if people would only come and obey what we're saying, they would be, they out of their belly will flow rivers of living water. Now these people, all these people that he influences, they're dead. They might as well be dead. They have no purpose in life. All their purpose is to support Eddie Biffle and to lift up Brother Branham. And when even though Brother Branham is gone in 65, it's still all they do. Brother Branham, Brother Branham, Brother Branham. And all they're doing, they're feeding on that bruised serpent. They're exalting that bruised serpent. You got to know what that bruised serpent is. You got to go back and listen to Brother Branham's message about the bruised serpent. Mm-hmm. What happened?
And it's really just another family business, too.
Yeah, another ism.
Just like when you will look at Jimmy Swaggart, he's got his little family kingdom there. His son Donnie, and then his son, and his another son is preaching. And then they'll pass it down to the next son. So it's like a business.
Mm-hmm.
It's just still another
family affair.
Another business. And that's how they all work, these systems. And the same way with the Eddie Biffle. If you're not in the family tree of Eddie Biffle, then you are just another one that's supposed to sit back there and listen to them.
Mm-hmm. I told that Jake. He wants to be preacher out there too. I said, you will never be in that pulpit unless you got Eddie Biffle's blood running in your veins. You'll just be a little Jew boy. They might put you in as a deacon, maybe, and you'll just be a good little slave boy, like mm-hmm. these Walners up there, that Joe Walner. He's a deacon there, and he thinks...
Joe Walner? Okay.
That different Joe Walner mm-hmm. than the one I was talking about. Mm-hmm. There's a Joe that comes from Rosedale here. And now they make a deacon because he's paying his tithes, and he's doing real faithful to the church. And then now I think they made his younger brother... That Leona's husband, what's his name? Anyway, I think he's got the deaconship too. And as long as you pay your tithes, and then we'll eventually, if you're very faithful to the tithe thing and to the money thing, and the more money you put, then eventually we'll make you a deacon. See? Mm-hmm. Part of the program. Mm-hmm. Just another hundred, I call it. Just another issue. Just another right. And here people are all around the world, they look up to that man. And all these movements all around the world, if they do not promote and come to the understanding and the knowledge that God sent Raymond M. Jackson to continue, that angel just used Raymond M. Jackson mm-hmm. to continue, or he could use Brother Branham anymore because he did. Then he started using the lips of open court of Raymond M. Jackson. It's all in the scripture, what you're saying here, and the days of the voice. When he shall begin. He began with Brother Branham, and then when Brother Branham died, he took the vocal cords of Raymond M. Jackson, and when Raymond M. Jackson died, we were all putting through the test. We all wondered what's going on now, and we all looked up to James Ellen and Bud Thompson, and lo and behold, after 3 years, we find out they can't be trusted. They come in with, we're in the third day, and League of Fires in the center there, thinks that you and I could not go along with it. And eventually, we separated ourselves, and not one of us knew what's going on when Brother Jackson left. But you and I, we were in touch with Raleigh. We were walking with the Lord, and we knew exactly that for three years, the Lord was trying to get Alan and Bud to promote his program where he'd bring people and get people an opportunity, all these preachers an opportunity to get in that pulpit that convention time. That's all God required them. So we as people can check and analyze them, see what they're about. But they shut the door to them, and eventually God shut that place down. There came that split in. And eventually all this was to test somebody, to test who of all these people that were under Brother Jackson's watch. To test them, who is then that? It's singular. Who is then that faithful and wise servant? That's what this whole thing was all about. And then eventually he gave us that exam to write. And eventually we were found faithful and true. And he found you and I to be faithful to continue on with the program. Who is then that faithful and wise servant whom his Lord had found faithful to deliver meat and due season? That's what we're doing here today. We're still delivering meat and due season. And he said, truly, I tell you, he'll set him over all his goods and all his goods out to roll out that living water and to be that person and be these people that's going to continue with the program. And here is that living water that'll take you right to the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's just that simple. See, you and I, we have to prove we're in touch with the Lord. We know what that biblical thing is all about. Even though the whole world is, oh man, they're lamenting. The most important man went off the scene, and he's going back on to glory, and that's all he worked for all his life. But he's not of God. That whole mm-hmm. thing is not of God. I have mm-hmm. to say that because I'm telling people the truth. Yeah, he is not of God.
Yeah, he led people astray, and that's really when you want to be very honest with yourself. He led people astray because he did not lead them to what God was doing for the day and hour.
Yeah, and he robbed all mm-hmm. these thousands and thousands of people around the world that he had influence to. All he would have had to do was tell the people that the successor and the continuation are from Brother Branham when he passed away is the vocal cord of Raymond M. Jackson, the ministry of Raymond M. Jackson. Everybody can get it. Just go on the Faith Assembly thing, a website, and then there are all the sermons that Brother Jackson preached. And he'll take you to the next level. Eddie Bischoff will not take you to the next level. The only place that Eddie Bischoff will take you is out to hell and death. That's all. I hate to say that, but it's the truth. That's the only place because it's all the Bischoff system. Mm-hmm. It's all about him. It's all about robbing the people from the tremendous spiritual gold mine that Brother Jackson had in his closing days of time. the prehistoric, what happened back in the prehistoric age, what happened when Lucifer got tested, what happened about the seven things that God gave Brother Jack to preach on, the New Jerusalem, the mystery woman.
Mm-hmm. Testing and fall of Satan. Mm-hmm.
The tree of life, the testing and fall of man. All these glorious truth that Eddie Bishop robbed all these people, the thousands and thousands of people around the world. He robbed them from that. Mm-hmm. He put a brick wall in there, and as soon as somebody even mentioned as much as Brother Branham or Brother Jackson, he's out. You're blaspheming. And I did it. I tried. I put the chart on there. Like I said yesterday, I put the chart on the pegboard about the countdown is on. And it wasn't on there. I think it wasn't on there for a day. And then I think that John Stahl, he's another one of Eddie Bishop's spies, Eddie Bishop's puppet. And then, did you put that chart on up there? He says, yeah, it's God used Brother Jackson to get on with the program. And thought you ever do that again. They took it down. I'm sure he took it down. Because I told him about, I told that John Stahl, he's a hutterite from that Elkhorn colony, and he got the hold of the message, and he was out there. He was a deacon out there. And I told him about Raymond and Jackson. It, the way he looked at me, it was even a sin to even mention Brother Jackson's name. They called him the Blackbird. I'd never heard about anything negative about Brother Brennan, because nobody wanted to talk about brother. I never heard anything negative about Brother Jackson, because you weren't allowed to talk about Brother Jackson. He's the Blackbird. He didn't put in church order. And to this day, that John Stahl could not believe what I told God used Brother Jackson. And because he refused to move on, what happened now is the whole family's in disaster mode. He's got some kind of Alzheimer's disease. He's up in a care home. Just barely alive.
Mm-hmm. And just because Brother Jackson didn't go along with church order, they thought he was an outcast, and he was just
troublemaker.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they had him labeled as all kinds. Mm-hmm.
And brother, and church order is just a trap of the devil, you know.
It is.
It's not in the Bible, and Brother Jackson didn't go along with that. He said it's not in the Bible, and I'm not going to put it into my church because it's not in the Bible. But it was a separating, like the saint is in his hand. It was a separate because there was beginning to be too many people, on holders, unbelievers, make believers, and true believers mixed up. And what God did, he allowed Brother Brenda to put in the church order to separate. It's a separating thing. The fan is in his hand, and to this day, the fan is still going and still separating. And then when Brother Jackson passed away, that fan was still in his hand, and he allowed James Allen to come up. We're in the third day. Well, you and I, we stuck with the word. And what was going on, that fan was just a giver. That fan was just a blower, and he blew it all to the chaff away, and that real kernel, if you take a combine, I drove a combine. I know how a combine works. It goes on that sieve, and it shakes. It goes from the slot through the rotors, and then from the road it falls down on the chaff, and then the grain, it falls right down, and eventually the grain ends up in the hopper. But there's a lot of commotion going on in that combine. That shaker, it just shakes everything out, and the straw stays and the chaff stays on top, and at the very back there's about a 18-inch chaff, what they call a chaffer, and that's where that, you know, that stuff that's around the kernel, that's where that stuff is blown out. It's just a fan, and that chaff goes out the back, and the grain stays, because the grain is too heavy for that wind to blow it out. Mm-hmm. You've got to set the wind just right. If you have too much wind, what'll happen, that grain will blow out. Mm-hmm. But you have to have just the right amount of wind so just only the chaff goes out of the back. And that's what was going on after Brother Jackson left the scene. It was already going on when Brother Brennan left the scene, but here is much more intense when Brother Jackson was off the scene. All that separating fans just to go, and you and I, we're part of that kernel. We're part of that nucleus of people that's moving on, that the Lord, it's all separated. We didn't go along with, we're in the third day. We didn't go along, we're after the 2 days. That's just that separating fan. That's what I'm trying to say. And back there, going to that Milk Rev Bar, he was just another one of Milk Eddie Bissell's puppets. And he was good for what he was doing. He was a pretty good looking guy. He's a I think he comes from Yugoslavia. Mm. And like I say, he went down to the, sold all that stuff to that Josh from Lakeside. And I remember to now, I went down there to buy some stuff because he had a whole garage full of stuff, you know, stuff from that Versatile company that went bankrupt. And that's his business, you know. Mm-hmm. And then he built some malls that Eddie Bissell did. Built some malls. Anyway, then John Stahl told me he owns a lot of malls all around Canada and the U.S. And the different places. That's his business. He's probably a multi. He's probably a billionaire by now. And now, at the end of the day, he up and dies, you know. And mm-hmm. He's got nothing. Just gives it back. Gives it to his family. It's all a family affair, and it'll all disintegrate into nothing. When that shaking of all things come, I'm just exposing what it is. It's absolutely nothing. Yet all around the world, he's this big man. Well, he's not that big man in the eyes of God. I just wanted to know, where is he in the economy of God? He's nowhere. He's absolutely nowhere. Just where Jimmy Swire is. They all know about the prophet. They all know about Brother Brennan, and they all know about Brother Jacks. Mm-hmm. Because when you look at their titles, they spy. What they do, they go in and get a lot of information from Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. Remember, we went to that place in Winnipeg, and where they got different churches, and yeah, I could tell that guy there that was selling his literature, he got the message to count down his arm where Brother Jackson made that blueprint, and he's selling it, and there are on his podium there, exactly the very thing that Brother Jackson made when they made the chart about anyway, one of Brother Jackson's chart. I forget what it was. Actually, he just copied it and he's using it as if it was his own. That's what they do. They spy it out, they spy them out, and then they pretend it's their own. That's all this whole thing is about. That's all that Bissell system is about. God has moved on from Brother Branham because in the days of the void, when he shall begin to sound, that word began, and he moved on to Raven and Jackson. It's just that simple. And I'm just exposing it because at the end of the day here, we're at the end, and it says everything will be exposed. All, even the motive and the intent of it. Eddie Bissell, what's your motive? What's the intent of your heart? You're absolutely not really interested in the things of God. You're interested to make yourself a big man for yourself, just like Nimrod. Let's make a name for ourselves. That's all it is. At the end of the day, it's nothing, and now he's dead, and now he's going to the regions beyond, and he's going to find out what it was all about. It was all about him. It was all about his ego. It was all about being this very important person. I hate to say these things. I wish it was different, but I can't say other than the truth. Because this is the truth. This is what the Lord is on his altar. We're about the Lord's business. We're not about going up there, buying a house, getting a job, and just so I can get more money into the coffers, into the business system. That's what I did in that college. That's all I did. I worked for, well, my name is Aiken Drum. And to do your work, I come. I did a work there for 45 years. At the end of the day, I didn't have nothing. They didn't give me nothing. I think I had $10. When I left that place. And that's it. And the clothes on my back. And they didn't even know how to write a check. That's what happened when I left that place. That college. Mm-hmm. Worked there for 45 years. And didn't give me as much as a dime. And well, you know the story about that system. But we're about the Lord's business. What we're saying here is the truth. Mm-hmm. You won't hear the truth anymore. It dwindled down to the point and the place where actually there's nothing out there that's worth fit for a dog to eat. That Fred Cormier and all these preachers that come under Brother Jackson's watch. It's exactly happened exactly like the dream I had. What they're going to do, they're going to make out of the ministry of Raymond M. Jackson, it's going to be minefield. They're going to see, work overtime to see how they can destroy it. And that's exactly what's going on out there. They're twisting everything up and making me say something that was never meant to be said. And here we're just holding on to the fort. We have been given a commission to hold on to the things that we've been taught. That's what we're doing. That's what we're about. Mm-hmm. We're not about getting into a program. We're not about becoming Eddie Bissell's puppet. We're not about becoming Joel Honor's puppet. We're about the Lord's business. Mm-hmm. He bought us with his pride, and we belong to him. It's just that simple. Mm-hmm.
Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, Lord, and we just want to express what you've allowed us to see. And we just want to tell people the truth of how you moved and where you are at and what vessels you've used, Lord, because it's the truth that sets people free. And we just want to set people free from the bondage that Satan and the hold that Satan has on people, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you'll open up their eyes so they can see, Lord, the truth of the matter of what that is Edibiscal system is all about and all these systems of religion, Lord. We just give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.